Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
At the end of The Thing, you ever see The Thing?
Yeah.
Great movie, wow, right? Amazing. I think is Childs the Thing is right up there with The Spinning Top in terms of the great unanswered question that I don't want answered. I don't want to know if the top drops. Right. I really don't.
Yes.
Do you think Childs is The Thing?
I do not.
Why not?
I would have to see the film again. I feel differently about it at different times. I'd have to watch it again. It's about what you're shown and what you're not shown.
I had John Carpenter on recently,
right.
And I said, I don't want to know the answer.
Right.
But as a fan, and speaking for other people, I want to know, is there an answer? And he goes, there's an absolute answer about whether Childs is the thing. And I said, can I know by watching the film?
Yeah.
And his reaction was, you absolutely can know. Just watch the film very carefully, and then send me a check. And I will give you the answer. But then afterwards, I said, but can I know? He goes, yes, if you watch carefully, you can know. Now I said
really?
That. Yes, he said you can know.
I've seen that film so many times.
I ran into Kurt Russell out in LA recently, and I said, this is what Carpenter said. And he goes, what? He doesn't think you can know. He knows there's an answer, but he won't tell me the answer either. And I don't want to know. But he also says he doubts you can actually figure it out from watching.
I'm with Kurt on that. I'll watch it again. But I mean, I love the film. I've watched it so many times.
What's your take on aliens? Do you think that there are intelligent life out there?
I think the mathematics tells you that it's probably... if you look at the pure physics and the mathematics, it tells you that it may be inevitable, but that we would never know about it. So it's a bit of an imponderable.
Too far away.
Too far away. Too big a universe. Too big a universe not to have other intelligent life, but too big a universe to ever make contact with intelligent life.
How do you feel about that? That makes me lonely.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I don't dwell on it.
Yeah, probably best not to. A big part of the WGA and the SAG strike this past year was about, the coming influence and effect of artificial intelligence or generative AI on the industry. Creatively, is this for the film and television industry or the visual creative arts, is this like this generation's creative Oppenheimer? Like people have achieved something with technology that might end up destroying the actual thing it's trying to help?
I mean, that's the pessimistic view, and I think it's one that was very good that it became part of what people were talking about in relation to both strikes, because it needs to be talked about, it needs to be analyzed. And one of the problems with the whole discussion is the term AI is too broad. And a lot of the ethical issues around it, as it applies to creators, depend largely on lifting the hood and finding out what's actually being done. Because there's a lot of so-called AI that's simply sophisticated search engines. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're basically just amalgamating other people's work in a fairly transparent way. It's not that hard to look at AI images that are produced and see exactly where they've been drawn from. And somebody working in AI would say, well, that's the same as an artist being influenced by another artist. But it's not, because it's a machine and it's a set of software algorithms. And so I don't believe fair use exemptions should apply to that, for example. So there are a lot of legal issues, there are a lot of complicated issues. I believe there's a groundswell of concern that's appropriate that I think and I hope will mean that it's going to be regulated constructively and appropriately, because these are going to be very useful and powerful tools in a lot of ways.
Do I have a more pessimistic view of generative AI than the guy who won't use a green screen?
Yeah, because people ignore what I like to call the developing perception, right?
One of the reasons developing perception.
Developing perception. Human beings have a developing perception. Engineers will tell you that your perception is established, it's testable, the highest frequency you can hear, the highest electromagnetic wave that you can see. That's not how the world works. And so if you think in your lifetime, how often in your lifetime have you heard a recording and mistaken it for a human being? It's pretty rare. And if it happened, it was probably the television playing in another room, muffled through the doorway. No matter how sophisticated recording and playback equipment has gotten, your ears have figured out how to tell the difference between that and a human being in ways that engineers are very poor at explaining or even understanding. The same is true visually, which is why I still shoot with an analog medium instead of a digital medium, because I see differences and things that the engineers have never managed to convince me don't exist anymore. The easiest way to explain it to people is say, look at visual effects. Why are the visual effects of 20 years ago laughable to you today? Whereas when you saw them 20 years ago, you thought they were amazing. And that's because—
Are you attacking the Lord of the Rings? Is that what's happening right now?
I wasn't going to name any names. I'm certainly not going to do that in this forum.
Because I will throw hands right now.
I'm not going to do that in this forum, but I am going to acknowledge the reality that yesterday's visual effects seem laughable to today's audiences. Mm-hmm. It's just the way, because our perception develops.
I understand when you started with the Super 8 camera when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And when was that first moment you picked it up? What did it mean to you? Or what was that feeling when you first looked through the lens?
I mean, it was just a very sort of innocent and simple start to it. You know, my brother and I just shooting images, and you'd send it away. A week later, it would come back in the mail. You'd thread it up on the projector and see the stuff you'd done. It was just magic.
Do you still have these?
I do, yes. They're still, you know, buried deep in a drawer. And
are you going to show them to anybody?
I don't really like. I showed them to my kids some years ago, but I remember them being a lot better than they are. So it was a little, you know.
No one's going to judge you. Like, you were a kid.
I know, but you sort of remember what you were trying to do. So after I saw Star Wars, you know, I made a couple of films imaginatively titled Space Wars, you know, and you know, I had my Star Wars toys and trying to do stop motion, all the rest, and you remember what your aspiration was.
Yeah.
And then you look back at the reality, it's a little disappointing.
Do you still have that Super 8 camera?
Yes, I do. Well, I still have the projector. I've had a lot of Super 8 cameras over the years.
Yeah.
I actually just got a brand new one from the Kodak guys. They built the first one for, I think, probably about 40 years, and yeah, it's a beautiful little machine that purrs along. And, you know.
I understand you tried to do a special effect with your father's Super 8 camera.
I did a lot with it. He lent us his camera, which now that I'm an adult and I realize what it meant to him, I probably shouldn't have strapped it to the bottom of our family car and driven along to try and get shot low angle shots, because I did wind up breaking it. I got some good shots, but I did wind up breaking the
camera. But the film survived?
The film survived.
Well, it was worth it then.
Well, he didn't think so, but yes.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Late Show Pod Show listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.